that's how a lot of these domestic poultry are picking it up.
I got you. Yikes. There's always something to worry about in nature, yes. Isn't there?
Now, the big question everybody's asked, what about my bird feeders?
And yeah.
As of now, it has not really been affecting songbirds.
Okay.
Feeder birds. It could have a potential, but as of now, it's not. So some scientists are saying, you know, go ahead and still feed your birds. But they do recommend that, you know, clean out your feeders at least once a week, one part bleach, nine parts water, and not just your bird baths, but also your bird feeders. Just, you know, scrub them out, let them dry out in the sun, and put them out. Once this really starts changing into our feeder birds, songbirds, then, you know, you may want to consider, yes, put your bird feeders down.
Okay. Now, the hummingbirds, you told me, are back in the area.
Yes.
So what should we be concerned about our feeders for hummingbirds?
As of right now, it's not affecting them.
But do clean those quite often, because
even if the avian flu was not around, I still would tell people to clean them out.
Now, if I recall correctly, you suggest at least once every 2 or 3 days?
Well, it depends on temperature.
Okay.
So, like, right now we're in the cooler temperature, so you can almost wait a week.
Okay.
But as we get warmer, you know, by the time you're getting in the late 70s or what, then you may want to change out a few days. 80s, you may want to change out every couple days. But once you get to about 95 degrees, hey, I should have probably decreased that probably at least by 90 degrees. You probably should clean it or change it every day, because that will ferment so quickly and you'll do more harm than good.
And that's the problem. It ferments and then it makes them sick, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like having a drunk uncle.
Yeah. And you know, when you're making your hummingbird food, you know, you make it at home. I know you can buy the stuff, but it's cheaper to make it at home. All it
just
is
sugar, right?
Yeah, just one part sugar and four parts water. And please do not use the red food coloring, the food dye, because the problem is we still don't have enough evidence, but they're thinking that it's causing a lot of liver problems.
Huh.
They're finding spots on their liver, and they're also finding out some of the eggshells are thinning out as well.
That's not good.
And so it's kind of like almost like the bald eagle case. Now, that was a little bit of a different story, but it's kind of the same concept. So, again, we don't have enough concrete evidence that the red food coloring is causing that, but it's best just to do the sugar water, because, you know, the federal government wants to regulate, you know, how much of that number 40 or what, red dye that we put in our foods to humans. Well, hummingbird doesn't care. They're just going to keep adding and adding until they engorp themselves. So just by doing sugar water, you're really helping out. And please don't use artificial sweeteners. Don't use brown sugar. Don't use honey, because those have different types of enzymes that the hummingbirds cannot digest. And again, you are basically killing them if you're doing that. So just sugar.
Now, I know a lot of people suggest that the reason why they put the red dye in it is because it attracts them.
Yeah.
But I just bought a new hummingbird feeder at the end of the season last year, and it's red itself.
So yeah, like a red glass.
Yeah,
I do that, and it works just as well.
Yeah. Now, and I don't think you really have to have red to attract them. Maybe it attracts them a little more.
It increases your chances, but no, you really don't need one.
They want the sweet. Okay. And if you can put a couple little bugs on the edge for their, you know, appetizers.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. What you can do is if you got a rotten banana or an apple that you don't want to eat, instead of throwing it away, hang it. Well, because guess what will attract it?
Yeah.
Bugs, gnats, and then hummingbirds will say, hey, there's food. Because I was telling Glenn off the air, thing is, hummingbirds, yes, do drink nectar, but they do need protein. They do need other food sources, because if it was just a straight nectar diet, they'd be diabetic little birds.
Yeah.
But, you know, they burn off those calories a lot faster than humans do.
Yeah. Now, I think I've seen somewhere how many thousands of calories a hummingbird burns off in a minute. I mean,
it's a pretty high. I think I saw a statistic that if we had the same metabolism as a hummingbird, we would need to eat 20 or 30 pounds of potatoes.
Oh, my.
Just to keep up with that. You know, potatoes are full of calcium or calories. So.
Yeah. They're really high in calories, potatoes?
Well, you know, I guess especially how you cook them, yeah.
And
with the starches.
They're a protein.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Well, now I'm feeling worried, because I went and bought potatoes that were called Biggie potatoes.
Oh, Biggie. Oh,
and they're big really ones. Big. Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. Oh, well, I love me some potato.
They are good.
Yeah. Okay. So is there anything we can look for amongst the birds in case they're getting sick?
You know, you did bring up a good point. So, you know, if you see a sick bird or a dead bird, don't touch it.
Somebody, though, right?
Yes. You can call your local health department, but who they're probably going to refer to is the ODNR, which I don't know the number on top of my head. I'd have to look that up.
Yeah. It's easily found.
If you Google in Ohio Department of Natural Resources or put ODNR, that should come up.
Yep.
But yes, then somebody from their department or health department will come out and they will grab your bird. But yes, if it's sick, I know you may want to put it in a box, like, oh, I want to take care of it. Again, just please leave it alone.
Yeah, let nature do what it has to do.
Okay? Yes.
Yeah, now, most critters, I assume if you find any critter that's dead, but not dead by an obvious attack, you probably should call them, shouldn't you? I mean, suppose birds do just fall out of the sky.
They do. They do. And, of course, you got roadkill. There's some that die from other diseases and old age. But in this case, you just need to call because, obviously, with the avian flu, they want to test it. So yeah. I guess if there's not any big outbreak or what of any particular disease, then I guess really you don't have to concern.
Now, what do you do if, let's say, a deer or a raccoon is hit out in front of your house and is laying there? Now, they can get really stinky when they start to go.
Yeah.
But what should you do about that?
Is it still alive or is it dead?
No, it's dead.
Oh, it's dead. I think I've heard some people say if you call the Ohio Department of Transportation, sometimes they will remove it.
Okay. All right.
Sometimes. I haven't heard that if that works all the time.
Well, I haven't seen a whole lot of them on the road, so somebody's doing the job getting them done because we just got through the rut, didn't we?
No, the rut was in the fall.
Okay.
Yeah, the right now they're about to have their babies. No, the rut will start in about late August, September.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't see very many deer this year on the side of the road, so I was hoping that maybe they weren't being killed.
Now, turkey season. Now, it's their breeding season is starting, and it's also the turkey hunting season.
It is?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Do they have a bow season?
For turkeys? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How in the world do you...
a crossbow. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand hunting. But it costs so much to hunt.
You get so little back. You know, the way how it's going, I mean, with equipment and license and all that, sometimes I've had some people tell me that it's almost as cheap or cheaper to go to the grocery store.
Oh, I'm sure it's cheaper.
But some people just say it's for the thrill. It's a sport.
Okay. I'm not going to get into any political argument.
I used to hunt, but I haven't in a while, mainly just time. But maybe as I get older, maybe I might consider going back in. I don't know.
I used to enjoy fishing. I've only hunted a couple of times. I didn't enjoy it, so I haven't gone back. But I did enjoy fishing. I just don't have a boat anymore. And I suppose you can cast from one of your peers out there.
You can fish at the Tallgrass Trail all around the lake. Yeah.
And what type of fish do you get out of
it? Typical sunfish species, so bluegill, crappie.
And they are good pan fried.
Oh, they are.
My wife can cook those up. I love them.
And then your catfish species. So we got some channel cats.
Not
and
a
some
fan of
belly,
that,
so.
But okay. I'm not a big catfish fan. So
nothing special, but yeah, we got, I guess, your basic.
Any bass out there?
Yeah, we got smallmouth and large.
Okay. Yeah, I guess they're good. I was not a good fisherman, so I didn't get a whole lot of those. But I did get a lot of bluegill and sunfish, and my wife is really good at cooking those. She's got a secret recipe.
Does she?
Yeah, I think she stole it from her father, who was a terrific fisherman. He was also a terrific doctor.
Well, I may have to come to your house.
Well, yeah, okay, if I ever decide to go fishing out at Tallgrass Trail, I'll tell you.
Sounds
good.
We're
going to have a fish fry. All right. Let's see. Other critters that we've talked about in the past. I assume you still have coyote wandering around out there.
Yeah.
And you told me about the mink. Yeah. They're out there by the first mile mark.
Yeah. There. Yeah. By her road. Yeah. Yeah. Which is by the first mile mark. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. What other critters? Do you ever get wild? Not wild dogs, but do people ever let their dogs
loose? Yeah, unfortunately. And we try to tell people, you know, please keep your dog on a leash. And I know I get the say, well, he's friendly, he loves everybody. And I say, well, you know, everybody's different. You know, yeah. A lot of people don't like dogs, or you may have had a bad experience with dogs. And then, of course, if they brought their dog, you know, sometimes they don't want to be around other canines. So.
Yeah. And I don't worry so much about my dog and other people, but I do worry about my dog and other dogs because he's not real friendly about other dogs.
Yeah.
He's a little guy. He has to prove he's a tough guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, so definitely. Now, do you have a rule that they have to be
leashed? We have signs. I mean, we wish everybody would abide by it. Most people do. Of course, you do have your some.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to arm you so you can go shoot those people that don't
engage. Oh, no, we don't want to do that.
We don't want to do that. All right, so now, do people bring other critters out onto the
tiger? Yeah, I've seen foxes. I've seen someone had
pet foxes?
Yeah, which I don't know how legal that was, but I've seen somebody had a wolf hybrid.
Oh, that's kind of scary.
And probably the most, a chicken. Somebody had a chicken on a leash.
Oh my! Yeah. A chicken. On a leash.
Yeah, it's on our Facebook page. I'll have to look it up and send it to you.
I love it.
Someone brought a chicken.
People will attract the most unusual pets. I still don't understand why people want to have snakes as pets. But how much loving can you get from a snake? I mean, aren't pets supposed to be give you loving? I don't.
Well, I guess they show affection in their own special way.
Yeah, wrapping around your neck and squeeze. Okay. Where are we going? I have no idea where we're going. Well, we are going to get back, not quite yet, but we're going to talk about the programs that you're having out there. And they're back in full bloom, right? There's no COVID restrictions.
No,
right
we
now.
Haven't had that since June 2nd of last year. That's when all the mandates were all lifted.
Yeah, okay. Now, we do have a new virus, a new species of the COVID that is popping up that's highly contagious, but not nearly as virulent as the previous one.
Oh, really? I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, it's just starting in the United States, and that may change things. But
talking about COVID, deer were very susceptible to the Omicron variant.
Really?
I'm not sure if Ohio was a state, but I know especially some of the eastern states, they were a problem. So
they would get respiratory ailing?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, mankind can kill anything it wants to, I guess.
And that was the big thing the CDC was recommending to hunters was wear a mask as you field dress, especially around the lungs. And I haven't heard anything if a hunter contracted COVID while field dressing its deer. But
do you have a problem with people just going out and killing the animals and letting them rot on the side of the road?
Yes.
Do you really?
Yeah. Now, if they are going to be out there, you know, obviously hunting the animal and, you know, going to utilize it rather for fur or for taxidermy or for meat or something.
Jerky. I love jerky.
I am supportive of hunting and you know, as long as they do it legally and through the process and all. But yeah, when they're just out there shooting it just for fun and like you said, leaving it out there to rot, I don't support that.
Up if you want to do that. Don't. Because they stink when they rot.
It's not good for nature. It's unethical.
Yeah, it is unethical. Well, now, I had a great thought, and then it went.
It went away. Yeah,
like that. Those little flies that are in my house that I can't remember the name of. Anyway, they live in flour. Okay, where are we going? Fishing. Have you had people start to fish out there?
Oh, yeah. We've had a lot of people have already been fishing since early April.
Does anybody ever come out there and try to ice fish?
At least I have not seen it, but we tell people we not highly recommend it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it probably doesn't get very thick.
One winter it was when we what was it, year of event 2017 or 18 when we put the Christmas trees out when Lowe's donated. We just had enough ice on to put the trees out on the lake, and that was pretty fun. But boy, it was eerie when you were walking across the lake and you're a
and they'll crack and not let you fall through, but they
But the wildlife officer, he brought in his measure and, you know, to test the thickness and all. So I trusted Chad Grody, and I'm like, all right, if I guess you say it's safe, I'll go with it.
So what did you do? You put Christmas trees out on the lake?
Yeah.
I assume.
And we tied them up to a cinder block, and like the old saying, they went swimming with the fishes.
When the ice went away, huh?
Yep, and created a fish habitat.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, now that's several years ago, so we got to actually do that again because they don't last very long.
They rot away?
Yeah, only last 3 or 5 years.
Huh.
And then after that, you got to add more.
Well, we could get a Navy ship and have it exploded in the middle of the lake, and you'll have all that stuff.
You could.
Oh, gosh. All right. or get an old truck. I've seen a lot of old trucks around this town. Just put them out there. Are there noises that we should be alerted to when we're walking on the trail?
Any noises?
Are there special bird calls you don't hear any very often any other places? Or animal calls? Do you hear a lot of animal growls or stuff like that?
Oh, yeah, all the time between squirrels. I mean, when
I know what a squirrel sounds like.
Or a chipmunk when they do that. Bunk, 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 bunk.
Yep, that's a chipmunk?
Yep, that's one of their distress calls.
Oh.
Of course, when I'm walking and I hear like the blue jays going, Jay, Jay, or the chickadees go, chickadee, dee, dee, dee. Those are actually their alarm calls.
Oh.
And what's funny, I always tell people, you know, as people are trying to learn identifying birds by sound,
well,
birds can, you know, other species will learn other species calls because that's important. Because if one species is saying, hey, there's danger, another species will say, well, hey, I better pay attention because obviously I don't want to get eaten.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of cool. Now, we have a lot of blue jays around my house.
Oh, yeah.
And they have all sorts of calls.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought I could identify most blue jays, and you can because they're kind of raspy sounding, all of them.
And they mimic a little bit, and actually one of the things they'll mimic is a red-tailed hawk.
Really?
Especially at bird feeders, because what they'll do is they'll produce that red-tailed hawk sound, and then the other birdies will fly away, and the blue jay, hop. It's mine
at all.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we were in Winslow, Arizona, or I don't know. Maybe it was one of those cities out there in Arizona or New Mexico. I'm not quite sure which. There was a blackbird that would sit above our motel room, and it sounded like an electronic speaker going off.
Okay.
It was really strange. Well, I found out.
Was it a starling?
No, it was a California. I think they called it a California blackbird.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. And
no, I never heard of it.
It looked just like any old crow.
Yeah.
But it had really iridescent eyes.
Ooh.
It was really cool.
I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, and I would walk out, and you'd hear this beep. I mean, sounded like an electronic sound going off.
Huh.
And that he would be sitting right above me, angry that I was bothering him.
Yeah.
You know? So, kind of strange. We also saw, what else did we see out there? We saw antelope.
Did you?
Which I hadn't seen antelope since I had been in Yellowstone Park.
Yeah.
And we saw not one, but a herd of antelope.
Oh, nice. Yep.
In
another name is Proghorn is another name for them.
Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. Well, being an ignorant guy, I called them antelope. And I told my wife they were antelope, so now I have to tell her they were what?
Proghorns.
Proghorns, okay.
Yep,
proghorns. They were bigger than a deer, but not a lot bigger.
Yeah, they're probably they're a little taller, a little lankier than deer.
Yeah,
a deer a little bit more heftier.
Yeah. Didn't see many deer on our way out there. We were looking for, now we got to one stretch excuse me, one stretch of road where there was warning signs for moose.
Oh, really?
But I didn't see any moose.
Huh.
Well, I'm not sure if it was for moose or just very, very big deer.
I bet it was probably elk.
Oh, yeah. It could have been.
Yep. Where were you, roughly?
New Mexico.
Yeah, yeah. There's elk around. Yeah, because they have moose darn not that far south.
Okay. All right. Yeah, now that I think about it, it really didn't look like a moose, because a moose has an unusual jaw, kind of long and, yeah. No, it didn't look like it.
Now, we used to have elk in Ohio a long time ago. I believe by 1840 is when the last
white man came in and killed them all.
Yep, yep. Yeah, that old story. Ashtabula County, which is the most northeastern county in Ohio.
Okay. Are elk more northern than southern?
Well, it's actually funny. They're in Kentucky. They were reintroduced over there, and they're actually doing really well in that state. I'm not sure if West Virginia has any. But they were slowly creeping into Ohio in 2009. There was a small pocket of deer that crossed the Ohio River.
Well, next week we're going to hear a lot about some four-legged critters down in Kentucky. The Kentucky Derby's next week.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, old Kentucky Derby.
That'll shake up some people.
But the eastern half of that state is where a lot of the elk were reintroduced. The
eastern half. Okay, over by West Virginia. And
yeah, yeah, the closer you are to the West
Virginia. Tennessee and, I guess, that kind of area.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're getting about that time. You want to talk about your programs?
Sure, sure. So, yeah, I got some interesting programs. Yeah. We're working with some different organizations or next month. So I know the list seems kind of short, but I will be doing a lot of school events, or either schools are coming out to the trail or I'm going out to schools. So, and as I was telling earlier, not next month, but hopefully in June, we're going to be starting our outdoor preschool program. So if you're on social media, the Tallgrass Trail Facebook page, we'll be announcing all about that.
No, I assume they have to bring a parent. It's not.
Yeah, yes. Bring an adult. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. So yes, our before for May, we're going to be at the Eco Center this coming Saturday. So that's outside of Caledonia.
Okay.
It's technically in Morrow County, but they're right at almost the Morrow-Marion border.
And it's called the Eco Center?
Yeah, Eco.
I haven't heard of this one.
Yeah, it stands for Educating Children Outdoors.
Oh, cool.
So, yep. Well, it's part of their Earth Day celebration. That's from
Earth Day.
12 to 4. Okay. So, yeah.
Are you doing anything particular for Earth Day?
I'll have a little station out there. So, and then one of our other board members will be at the YMCA. They're having they're calling Earth Day or Kids Day.
Do you cook brats on Earth Day? And
not this year.
Have a beer or something?
No. No, okay. So May 5th at 5 p.m., we'll be doing a wildflower walk at the Teradice Nature Preserve. So a lot of fun wildflower species out there. So come discover some of Marion County's beautiful wildflower species. On the 7th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., we'll be at the Marion Mall for their craft show. So we'll be having some tables and out there for kids to touch and observe of some of the natural things that they can find in Marion County or in Ohio. On the 14th, we are partnering with Eco Center for the Bird County Birdathon. So this will take in place in Morrow and Marion counties. Now we do need help. This is kind of more laid back than from like the Sandhill Crane count that we did at the beginning of April, and then the Christmas bird count we did back in January.
We got a phone.
Call. We got a phone call.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Let's go to the phone. I'm sorry. Oh, I got to push the right button though. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, I've been looking for your location. I wanted to drop off something.
Oh, okay. 523 South Prospect Street in here.
I'll
in Marion.
Be right back.
Okay,
thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye. See, we do just informational stuff.
Yes. Oh, and then probably want to let them know about the construction in front of our waterworks.
Yeah, if you're still listening, sir, there's construction in front of the station, and you can't get any more than maybe a block away from us.
Yeah,
so we
had to park a little bit.
Yeah, we did. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. You're fine. Thank you for getting my attention. So, yes, the Bird County Birdathon, again, Eco Center is hosting the event. We're partnering with them, so it'll take in various places in Marion County and Morrow County. They're asking for registration of teams and all. So to register, you can go to the Eco Center Facebook page, and if you got your pen and paper, give you a little minute. All right, so I know this is kind of long, but it says Eco, so ECO, Community Conservation, so CONSERVATION at gmail.com.
Oh, that is a long name. You better give that one more time, all right?
Eco Community Conservation at the at symbol at gmail.com.
Okay.
So, all right. So, and I'll be leading something on the 14th. So I'll be doing something in the morning, because then in the afternoon I got some other programs that I'll be doing later. On the 15th, I will be at the Headwaters Outdoor Educational Center, which is in Morrow County. I partner with them a lot. They're doing kind of a wild edible medicinal plant program. I'm going to be doing a program out there talking about some of the resources that are out there and how to utilize those resources and things to think about before you're foraging. And there will be other guest speakers that will actually be talking about, you know, obviously the things you could eat and use plant-wise. So, again, that will be on the 15th, starting at 2 o'clock p.m. at Headwaters Outdoor Education Center, which is in Morrow County. If you're familiar with Morrow County, it's behind the Sheriff's Station off of State Route 42, just outside the village of Mount Gilead.
Okay.
And then I was telling Glenn earlier that the Marion Maid, they are doing their Marion Maid in May 5K and Kids Dash. Now, this will be at Tallgrass Trail. Now, there are several things about this event. This is through Marion Maid. They are requiring a registration, which I'll talk about that here in a moment. But this does have a fee. Because for t-shirts, Kids Dash, or the Kids Race, is for $10. That will start at 9 o'clock a.m. The Adult Race will be for $40, and that will start at 9:05 a.m.
Okay.
Now, the registration ends on May 18th, and this is also a very long link, so I'll give you again a little moment to write down, and I'll repeat. But it's www.runsignup.com/race/Ohio/Marion/Marion May 5K.
Oh my.
All right, so I'll give it to you again. That's www.runsignup.com/race/Ohio/Marion/Marion May 5K. Now, if you do social media, contact the Marion Maid Facebook page, and they will probably send you a link as well.
Yeah.
And then just of like a reminder, our programs are for free except for the race. And then please remember that programs can be canceled due to weather and other circumstances. And we usually start our programs 5 minutes after the starting time. So that's what we have coming up. So
that sounds good, except for those really long.
Yes, yes.
Well, we'll give that information again on my show, Swap Shop, couple of times. So if you didn't get your pencil out, stick with us, and during Swap Shop I will try to give you those addresses a couple more times. Yeah. So
now a few park updates. Sorry, I had to look up on my phone. We do want to thank Aqua Ohio, that they came out around Earth Day a week or two ago. They did some cleanup at Tallgrass Trail, so we'd like to thank them.
Aqua did?
Yep, Aqua. One of our previous park board members, Dave Very Little, nice. He used to work for them, and he kind of led that.
Great idea.
And also Dave Little, he cleared some of the brush that was blocking some of the view there at the trailhead from the playground. So thank you, Dave.
Have you had any opportunity to buy some equipment that does all that sort of thing?
We do have some, yeah, yeah. But a lot of it the volunteers, bring. And then we like to thank Bob Zimmerman. I want to say a day or two ago, he fixed one of the benches there at the trailhead. So thank you, Bob.
Nothing worse than a wooden splinter from a trailhead bench.
Yes.
Now, you have a lot. Most of your stuff is done by volunteers.
Yes. Yes.
If somebody wants to volunteer, how do they get a hold of you?
So several ways. Okay. They can, if they do social media, of course, the Tallgrass Show Facebook page. They can contact us through there. If you don't do that, you can call us, and I'll give you a number a couple times. Office phone number is 740-223-4161. Again, that's 740-223-4161.
Now, does that go to the trailhead little office there?
No, our office at the county building.
Oh, okay.
And then I got to answer the phone call, and then, yeah, then I'll write the information down, and I'll give you a buzz.
Is there always somebody at that number?
No, okay, no. So I check it at least once a week or so.
Okay, so leave a message.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, excellent. All right. It sounds like you've got a lot of things going on. Yeah. Now, you're going to leave that with me so that I can repeat it, I'm sure.
Yes.
And we will repeat those addresses a couple of times, at least during Swap Shop.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you're getting so involved in all this. I love the 5K, 5 and a 10K, right?
Well, we have a 5 and 10K at the trail, the turnaround, but the race for Mary
is
Maid
is
just a 5K.
Okay. Now, that was kind of interesting that you said if people want to train, they can come out, and you have a turnaround for a 5K and a turnaround for a 10K.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And I was telling Glenn off the air, too, that if you wanted to train for distance-wise for a Hocking Hills trail from Old Man's Cave to Ash Cave.
Is that a natural, do they have a race that?
I don't know if they do races. Okay. I know they do the big winter hike over there. But anyhow, because, you know, it's a long trail. It's 12.3 miles. Well, we're 12.4 miles.
So we beat them by better.
That's right, 0.1 of a mile. So, again, you're training for distance, use Tallgrass Trail. Now, obviously, for elevation-wise, no, we're flat as a pancake. So we can't help you in that department.
Well, and flat's not always that bad. I like flat. I probably wouldn't walk that trail down in Logan. It's Logan County.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't walk that trail because I'm sure it's up and down and up
well,
and down.
Well, it's in Hocking County, but outside of Logan. Okay.
Yeah. Outside of Logan's town.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we've got everything taken care of. If you have any calls, we got about 8 minutes. You can call up and ask James any questions you have. 740-383-9944. And I hope that gentleman who wants to drop something off here takes into consideration that we do have a lot of work going on our street right now. We just had down from my house, two doors down from my house, they took down the biggest, most beautiful tree.
Aww.
And I hate seeing that, but it was starting.
Was it rotting?
No, it was it was perfect.
Oh, what
they
was
cut
that?
It, and well, it was starting to lift the sidewalk up and get underneath the street and lift the curb up and lift the driveway up.
Yeah.
So it was
some species can get a little aggressive.
Yeah, it was a shame.
Was that a willow?
No.
Okay, willows do that a lot.
This was about, I'm guessing, 50 feet tall. It
was
very tall and definitely not a willow.
Well, that was the problem in the, I want to say it's the 60s or 70s, a lot of when these developments were coming in. People were planting all these willows, especially down like side streets.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is about willows, they're very water hungry, I call
them. Yes, they are.
And they will go in people's, piping system, and they can get very aggressive. So they found out, nope, you can't plant willows near people's homes.
Yeah. That's probably true. Now, my son, in his previous house, had a willow, and it was always clogging up their drains.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they had to worry about that. Well, anyway, we've had a lot of trees on our block stop growing. I have a tree out. My next-door neighbor had to cut down his tree, he felt.
Really?
I don't know why he did, but they're both the same tree. His tree and my tree were the same type. And
same species.
I can't remember what it is, but they both had the same problem. Part of the tree was dying. Now, I've noticed today that there are two branches that go up on my tree, and the branch that's on the south is perfect, or not perfect, but it's fine.
Yeah.
Has growth buds all over it. The one that goes on the north side, there are very few buds, and so I'm trying to figure out if I can convince an arborist.
Yeah.
Arborist to come out and tell me whether I can cut that one branch off unless
it's definitely not getting enough nutrients. So probably the xylem or the phloem is either damaged on that side.
Yeah, okay. Well, now, as of 2 years ago, I started putting those stakes in the ground to...
Oh, those fertilizer stakes?
Fertilize the trees. Yeah. And that seems to have helped quite a bit.
Okay.
It's helped the grass.
Oh, yeah.
But, I think that's helping.
You get those big patches of grass?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, that's always fun.
But I think it is helping my tree, but that one side's gone. So
yeah.
I'm hoping that an arborist can come out and say, yeah, we'll take down that one side of your tree and the rest will grow on.
Yeah.
But
hopefully no conch mushrooms come out, because, boy, that's a bad sign that your tree is dying.
I have seen no mushrooms out, so that's good. Now, is there an arborist in town that you know of?
No, not that the only ones I know are in Columbus.
Are they? Now,
Don's Arboretum, I think, has an arborist department. I could be wrong.
Now, I've been told that it's very important to have an arborist before you cut any tree down.
Yeah.
But they're pretty expensive as far as I
understand. They can. Call your local extension office, and they can give you resources of who to contact.
Now, is our local extension office in the basement of the county building?
Yes, and we are too. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're not neighbors, but we're in the basement area. So
okay.
Instead, if you're in the basement there at the county building, you know, you would turn right to go to the extension office.
Yeah.
And you'd go past the soil and water waste facility. And then there's the prospect meeting room right around the corner.
Okay. I'll have to come out and look at your digs. I've never been there.
So, yeah, like I said, I'm only there about once a week just answering phone calls. And then we have our park board meetings are typically the third Thursday of every month.
Do you have a receptionist that runs?
No.
Would you like one?
Yeah.
Maybe we can get you a volunteer.
Yeah, that would be fun.
I mean, old guys like me, we have nothing to do. We could come down there and spend a couple hours.
I kind of call it sometimes the dungeon, because there's no windows or anything. It's just a dark little area. But it's a nice building. It's a nice little office.
If you'd let me bring my music in, I play it real loud. I come sit and listen to your phones. Okay, well, we're getting down to last 2 minutes. Anything else we need to talk about the tall grass trail?
Just as we mentioned before, you know, snakes, ticks, you know, all kinds of things that, you know, we don't like, but they are part of our natural world. And when our interview with the young man that's our intern, you know, because Dan Sheridan was asking him, he said, what would you tell somebody who, you know, who doesn't like snakes and they, you know, come out to the trail? And he said, well,
me.
we're going out to the trail to enjoy nature, but, you know, we are inhabiting their own homes. So,
yeah.
You know, we need to consider that. And I love how he said that. So just please keep that in mind.
Yeah.
You know, when you're out there, you know, these animals are not there to kill you. They're not trying to scare you. They're just trying to, you know, do their thing, but they're trying to coexist with humans.
And you're really a guest.
Yeah, basically you are. You're a guest in their own home.
Yeah. They've been living there a lot longer than we've been living there.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, there's probably been some natives that have lived around that area for a long time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Please treat nature like it's a friend as opposed to an enemy.
Yeah.
We've already tried that, and it didn't work.
No.
We killed our bees, we've killed our buffalo, we've killed everything. So,
just about.
Yeah, please be kind to your fellow creatures. And we are all creatures. Sure. I like to tell a lot of people that, yes, we are animals, so we have to treat other animals like they're part of us. Okay, well, we're down to our last 20 seconds, and I hope that we will be able to switch to the next program, which is Swap Shop, and that'll be yours truly. And we'll give those addresses again, and please stay with us. And I hope things move better than they moved in the last quarter hour where we switched to another station. Okay, talk to you in a few. Thanks.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. The 107-year-old viral video sensation Virginia McLaurin on meeting President and Mrs. Barack Obama.
You said now you'd be able to die happy. Why did that mean so much?
Well, you see, I'm 106, and this is my wish. I always wish that would happen. I wish I would have a part of it, and I could go to heaven and tell my Lord about it.
We can never know this, but what was it like to be told you can't eat at a certain restaurant? What was your experience with that?
Look, you know, when you born and raised up in this violence, you didn't know any better. You didn't pay any attention. You would pass this restaurant and it say white. Then you miss, oh, you can't go in there because that's white. That's white. Then you go to the other one or go someplace there. Oh, we can go in here because it's black. And then you go in black. And a lot of white people like black people's cooking. And they would go in our restaurant sometime and get what they want to eat or have you to fix it or either come to the house and cook. They would eat to the dining room and you would eat in the kitchen. You come in the back door, and you ate in the back door. And we didn't pay it any attention because we just figured at the time that was like it gonna be. I didn't ever think it would ever be a change, but it is.
WWGH Radio, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.